Hey guys, I just wanted to take a quick moment to request one thing. If you're watching this on YouTube, please hit the like button if you like the content and hit subscribe. The biggest thank you that you can give us is, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts so that other people can tune in to this podcast and vlog. And other stuff that you can do for us is, share it on social media, share it with your friends, your colleagues, anybody that you think would find this content helpful. We'd really appreciate it. And now back to the show. What's up, everyone? It's Andrew Bermudez, co-founder and CEO of Digzy, with my awesome co-host, Natalie Wainwright.
Natalie Wainwright. Good morning, everybody.
And where are you from?
I am in Las Vegas, Sin City, as they call it, here in Nevada, and I'm with Logic Commercial Real Estate.
And what does Logic Commercial Real Estate do? Sounds like they do something with like buildings and land.
They do some stuff with buildings. It's really weird what they do. We are a full service commercial real estate firm, and amazing during these downtimes. They are like on fire. I'm just so happy to be where I am. Like, there's been zero cuts or anything like that, right? Like, it's great. So I scored.
And what's your favorite color, Natalie?
Black.
And what's your favorite song?
Book of Love by Peter Gabriel.
Oh, I love Peter Gabriel.
But I like Book of Love.
No, but I like the song that everybody likes, In Your Eyes.
Oh, that's a good one. I love Peter Gabriel, but you got to listen to Book of Love. It's the ultimate. You got to send it to your wife today and be like, honey, I heard this and I thought it was.
I'm going to listen to it after this.
Let me know how that goes. Because it's a
good one. You'd be like, this is. Like,
thanks for looking out.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm going to have to send you chocolates and roses.
Yes.
all right. So we have a really interesting episode. Natalie, I'm really excited to be sharing this with you because when we're talking, over text about what the episode was going to be, I was just thinking about you working from home, having clients, and then having your 17-year-old and then your kids just running around the house.
And an 11-year-old. Yes.
Yeah. So, we're going to talk about, when and how you, when you need a virtual assistant. That's the most important thing is when.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about how to hire one very easily and that will produce quality. Right.
Okay. I'm excited.
So one thing that, we talk about is, kind of like when should we be hiring a virtual assistant, right? Most people have a lot of stuff to do. The problem is that when you start thinking about that, when to hire, we tend to think about stupid things, like, oh, I'm going to have them, organize my files, or I'm going to have them, do this, do that. I'm going to have them clean up my database. We really have to think about what the ROI is, because if you're going to be spending money on a virtual assistant,
yeah,
no matter how expensive or how affordable they are, you don't want to be throwing money into an admin task that's really not going to bring you return. It has to return something. And ideally, you want to be, if you put in a dollar, you want to get $2 back, $3 back, or at least anything above a dollar. So you don't want to put a dollar in and get and just like break even. You want to get a return on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So be more strategic.
So some of the things is like, depending on the kind of brokers you're in, right? Or depending on the kind of commercial real estate firm, whether you're a developer, et cetera, it depends. Like, big brokerages will, like a team of brokers will have somebody who assists them, either with the marketing or the admin stuff or typing proposals, et cetera. But if you're like in a different shop, right? Like when I came from Lee & Associates, I'm not sure if they've changed at the time, but we're all partners, right? So we had to pay for our own assistant. And when I was 24 or 23, I hired my first assistant. And that was actually a physical assistant in the US sitting in our office. And as you know, that is pretty expensive. You're paying somebody $3,000 to $5,000 a month out of your own pocket. But with the internet and, that we've proven with COVID that people can work remotely. So it's all about like, how do I do that? But the most important thing is like, when should you do it? Like, should you do it when you want to clean up your database? Well, how much return do you get from like cleaning up old contacts? Probably not a lot.
Yeah.
Right. So some of the things that, it depends what part of your career you're in and also how much time things take and what the potential return is on somebody, right? So some of the things that we can do, for example, is prospect reports, right? So you can have them, you get inbound leads on your listings or, you talk to other brokers and then basically you can CC your virtual assistant to create a system that you CC them and then that virtual assistant will enter, he or she will enter that into the prospective spreadsheet or whatever if you have a Word document, et cetera, on that. You can also have assistants who can create a brochure, right? Mm-hmm. And hire somebody who's more talented than you are in creating those brochures, updating the listings across all the different listing services, making sure they're up to date and they've got the right pictures. That actually turns into sales, right? And that's for like listing brokers. Marketing campaigns, that could be on the listing side, or it can be on the tenant rep side. Like, let's say you're doing a marketing campaign, Natalie, like you do a lot of marketing on social media, but think about if you had that social, had that virtual assistant actually now go, hey, here's how I do these things. Here's what I say. You just send them a quick little note and they basically know how to put the pictures together and then schedule it. So it goes out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera. Social media marketing, essentially, you can have them do.
Which I never, ever, ever recommend outsourcing. So yeah. I love everything you're saying, but social media, I disagree.
Well, you should never outsource. No, here's what I mean by social media. Oh, we can you can interaction and engagement has to be you. But putting together the graphic, together the graphic or anything like that, if you have a system that you've designed, and all you have to do is come up with what you want it to say, and then they send it to you, and then you approve it, then that can go in the queue. And the queue should have different things to be recycled. It's actually the execution of it that I'm talking about. I don't recommend having your virtual assistant engage.
Agree. Okay. Then you and I agree on that. Yeah.
Yes. It's very different. Like the grunt
come up
work
with the content, because it's not personal, and then it will fail.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. But you don't have to sit there and spend 15, 20 minutes going through, you know, scheduling that post to go out.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
And then they can take care of, you can have a bucket where all your different pictures promoting your tenant rep services and all the different also cool media that you put out. They can have a library, and then they can go into your like Meet Edgar, or if you're using Buffer or something, and then basically use that as the library that they use to pump that stuff out. And you can have a schedule for those things. By the way, Natalie, do you know the best times to post on LinkedIn?
I don't. When are they?
So it's actually Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
So we got to get busy today.
So yeah. The best time on Wednesdays to post on LinkedIn is 8 to 9 a.m. or 8 to 10 a.m. And then on Thursday, it's 9 a.m. And then there's between 1 and 2. And then on Friday is actually 8 to 9 a.m. And then
that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I have so much success on LinkedIn. I wonder how much more I would have if I followed the guidelines, because I just don't. It could be 8 o'clock on a Friday night and I'm like, this is how I'm feeling, you know. But if I had an actual schedule, it'd probably be a little bit.
It's hard to keep it up, but I mean, you're doing a great job. It's just depending what it is. Like I would post, like you've seen me, like I post all the time, and the Digzy team posts on our Digzy stuff all the time too. But the one thing is, like, for example, if we're promoting a webinar, we're going to make sure that it goes out at those times, right?
Yeah.
Or some event we're having, or if we're doing like an iPad contest, Julius Buildings and things like that.
Which you are doing an iPad contest.
We are, yeah. We'll put that on the link below, which is, you know, if you posting listings on Digzy is free. 98% of our audience is direct tenants and buyers. So if you want to, you know, dual end more deals and market your properties directly to tenants and buyers, post them on Digzy for free. But on the 5th, we already gave away the first iPad. That announcement, I think, goes out today.
Okay.
The person who posts the 100th listing, the 1,000th listing, and the 5,000th listing gets an iPad. So basically, the person, it's random. So that way, you can be, you know, posting one listing and you hit, you know, 1,000, then you get granted that. So it's a neat little way to kind of, you know.
I love that.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, we love iPads, so we thought it'd be kind of fun to do that. So the other thing too is, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I got a blog. It's great to have, you know, your social, your virtual assistant to write blog posts for you.
Oh, for sure. Ghostwriter. That's when I've engaged an assistant, is a VA, I should say, is to write, to ghostwrite something for me. I obviously have final approval and I give them all the content. Like maybe I'll send 7 articles and say, hey, combine this.
Yeah.
But yeah, great use for a VA.
Yep, exactly. And the one thing you can spend your time doing is kind of, or you can even have them research, is like, okay, so what are high traffic keywords that a tenant, a buyer, or let's say a principal, depending if you're on the listing side or the sales side or the tenant rep side, what are frequently things that they ask? Like, what does triple net mean, right? So they can research like the keyword volume, and then they can give you a spreadsheet with, okay, this is the commercial real estate topics, and here's the keyword volume. And then you can say, okay, let's write that one. Okay, how to find gym space, right? Things like that. Yeah.
So when would you recommend, like, what point in your business would you recommend that you hire a VA? Because that's what you were saying, right? When So when should I, Natalie, I have an actual assistant that works in an office with me, but mm-hmm. when should I hire and engage maybe a VA? What do you think? How do I know that it's that trigger point when I have a task where I get a return?
Well, when it's always going to be on return on investment, right? So the one thing is you have to look at, let's say if I was just starting in the business right now, unless I have a pile of cash, which most people who are newer in the industry, like you can't afford a virtual assistant. Now, the moment that you have anywhere between, let's say, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000saved up in the bank, that means that now you're not going to go do a bunch of small dinky deals. You're going to start focusing on really getting bigger deals and getting your name out there, et cetera. So I would suggest that you do it at that time is when you're able to comfortably hire somebody where if you went a year without making money on that person, right? Then
yes,
that they would only
yeah.
That's when you do it is you start doing it there or when you start getting close to that. But it's only high value stuff. Like don't have them, you know, clean out your database. I mean, that really doesn't do a whole lot. You send out an email and if the email's dead, just have the virtual assistant, you know, remove those people from there. I mean, you don't want to have them spend, you know, 7 weeks cleaning out your database. So blog posts is pretty great. It's a great way for people to, when they start looking on Google and they have questions, then your article will pop up, right? And then they'll see that. And then you can, between the articles, you can have like, you know, calls to action. Like, hey, do you want to know how much building's worth? Do you want to know how much, like for tenant reps, it's great. Like, hey, want to know how much you should be paying in rent? And then just link it to a form. And then they put their address, their name, contact information.
Oh, for sure.
We'll get back to you in 24 hours or something.
Yeah.
So responding to listing inquiries is great because, you know, if you're kind of at that threshold where like, you know, you've got a little bit of money in the bank, but you want to start making more money, then you can do like listing inquiries, like them handling the listing inquiries and things like that. And then CCing you and making sure that they do that. And you can train them pretty easy. You can have like standard responses for each listing. Important, for example, for tenant reps is to have them like research a prospect or a group of prospects.
For sure.
Yeah. So let's say, for example, this takes a lot of time, but let's say you run a search in whatever database system you use, whether you use InfoUSA or like Uplead, and you see all of the tenants, you know, with 50 employees or more in this certain part of Vegas, right, or Nevada. Then you can just give that to the virtual assistant and go, hey, here's what I want to know. I want to know, you know, where they went to school. I want to know their kids, all that stuff. Things that you would have to do one by one and then research your prospect, they can actually just grab and put on a spreadsheet. So they spend the time researching them and then they find the email addresses for you. They can do a bunch of stuff. And then all of a sudden you get like, you know, they can even give you a Word document with everything and you can be like, okay, great. I'm going to start calling these people.
Yeah. You know? That's great. Okay.
Yeah. A neat trick though, like when you're researching people is to go into, have them go into LinkedIn and take a screenshot or a printout of all the mutual connections you have. So when you're looking at, let's say you have a list of 20 prospects and you see that, oh, Andrew Bermudez is connected to the CEO of this company I'm targeting. I'm going to reach out to Andrew because he's my co-host and you're going to ask me. I'm going, oh, I know him pretty well. Yeah. What do you want? I want an introduction. What's the angle going to be? And then you can, now you've got a way in. You know about the prospect.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So things like that. Those things take time, but the ROI is big. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
And then the other thing too is cold sales emails, right? So for example, I keep on preaching this and it's huge for Digzy. Email, whether it's email marketing or doing what's cold sales email campaigns, like the ones that you've been doing
Persist IQ.
Yeah, on Persist.
And if you don't know what Persist IQ is, you go and you watch that video right now. I've sent that video to so many people. I even know what minute you should go to in the video. I think it's minute 12, where you immediately get like Andrew explaining it and you will never have any questions. I like that video was probably the best video I think we've ever done.
Dude, that's cool.
It provided so much value.
That's awesome.
And I
sent
that to so many people. I'm completely frozen. Am I good?
No, you're good. Yeah.
That was good. That was one of our best videos. So if you don't know what Persist IQ is, you go and check that out. You're welcome.
Yeah, we'll include the link in the show notes. That's a good plug. But for example, things like that, you don't really need. I mean, you can just have you can have the assistant go into your account, like tell it the target companies you want, and you can do that. You can also do like, you know, LinkedIn outreach. You can have them do that. You know, you design it where it's like pretty safe, right? If you go, hey, if I'm connected to them, ignore them, if I'm not connected to them, send this, just add them as a connection.
Thank you for connecting. You know, yeah. Thank you for connecting. Every time somebody connects, yeah, thank you so much. Have a great week ahead. Just having a VA do that for you would be huge because it's another touch.
So here's what I want to do so that it's valuable to people. I think that we had so much success with this vlog/podcast is because we haven't just told people what to do or tell them what to do. It's like we've shown them how to do it easily.
That's true. Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually share my screen and okay. we're going to try to identify, and we'll be describing this too, so it's easy for people, but we're going to be basically figuring out like what we should actually hire a VA for.
We're going to do this with
a spreadsheet.
I'm excited.
All right. So let's take a look here. Let me know, Natalie, when you can see my screen.
Oh, what just happened? Are you there?
I'm here. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. No, that was so weird. I thought you just, okay. I'm here.
All right.
So I'm looking at a blank spreadsheet.
Awesome. So, this is Google Sheets, but you can use Excel, whatever. Okay. So we're going to use the ICE method. Are you familiar with what ICE is?
I'm not. What does that mean?
So it's impact, it's confidence, and it's effort.
ICE, impact, confidence, effort. Okay.
Correct. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to name this item, and we're going to do impact, we're going to do confidence, and we're going to do effort in the spreadsheet. Okay. We're going to bold it. We're going to move this here. I'm going to make this a little bigger for the audience to see. All right. So let's go, Natalie. What are some things that you have to do that you haven't been able to do simply because of your time? And we're just going to list three things.
I need to be responding to more people on LinkedIn. I can't keep up with the amount of inbound messages that I'm getting.
Okay.
So, and I should, everybody that I link in with, and I think this goes out to everybody, you should always do a personal touch. Thank you for linking in. Have a great rest of your week. Something that easy can be the door opener for a conversation. So responding and opening.
Great. Okay. What's another item that, you think you should be doing that you just don't have time to do?
Updating my email blast list. So whenever I get an inbound email or a message, I need that person to then be added to my marketing list. I have not done that in probably 4 months.
All right. And what's another thing? Can you think of another thing?
No.
Okay. So I'll add a couple here. So I'll say, keep prospect reports updated. All right. And I'll do, let's see.
How about upkeeping? I don't know if a VA could help with this. I need your opinion. When you close a deal, the follow-up on a closed deal, checking in with them every 3 to 6 months.
Yeah. Okay. So follow-up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Client follow-up. Let's do that. And let's say something like, let's do something about like, let's say, organize computer files.
Okay.
And let's say buy toner for printer for office. All right. So we have these things. We have respond to people on LinkedIn. We have updating email blasts, add people, list, keep prospect reports updated, client follow-up, organize computer files. Let me update that one. And then buy toner for the printer. Now, when we're looking at the ICE method, impact, confidence, and effort, we're looking from the lens of return on investment. If mm-hmm. I put energy in this, what is the amount, what is the impact on my bottom line? Like if this got done, is it a high impact on my revenue? Is it a medium impact on my revenue? Is it low? How confident am I that it's going to have that impact? And then how much time and effort's going to take there? All right. So it's always like high, medium, low, right?
Yep.
So let's say responding to people on LinkedIn, what's the impact of that? Is it medium? Is it high? Is that going to turn into dollars?
Medium.
Okay, so we'll call it medium. All right, and we'll see what's the confidence that responding to people on LinkedIn is actually medium. It's probably pretty high, right?
Yep.
So I have a high degree of confidence that the impact is medium. And the effort, is it high effort? Is it medium effort? Is it low effort?
Low.
There we go. And then updating email blast, add people. What's the impact on that?
Medium.
All right. What's the confidence that it's medium?
High.
All right. And the effort?
Medium.
There
what
we
would
go.
You say? Okay.
I would say it's medium is like, this is how we use it in engineering. Here's how we basically list all the features that we're thinking about building. And let's say bugs that we're trying to fix. And because you only have a limited amount of time and resources and revenue that you're generating or funding that you've raised for investors, this is how you decide what you're going to work on next and what you're actually going to tackle. And the things of low importance, you just let them burn. That's the one thing. So keep prospect reports updated. What's the impact on that? Well, if my landlord probably needs to have it, so it's almost like the impact might be medium. Right. But I want to keep the business. My confidence is high and the effort is probably medium too. Right. And then client follow up, the impact. What would you say client following up with clients after a deal?
High.
There we go. And what's the confidence that it's high?
High.
And what's the effort?
Medium.
All right. Organized computer files, the impact on my revenue.
Low.
Absolutely. What's my confidence that it's low?
High.
What's the effort? Probably high. So you start seeing the trend. Like, why would I even, it might annoy me that my computer files are all over the place, but it's not going to bring me a return. So that's going to go out the door. And then buy toner for printer for office. What's the impact that's going to have on my revenue? I'm looking at this from the lens of making money.
Yeah, low.
Confidence is high that it's low, and buy a printer for it. It's low, but that's it. So now what we're going to do is we're basically going to grab this and we're just going to grab a filter, and you can do this in Excel, right? All right. So we're going to get rid of everything that's low. Boom. So you see it got rid of all of those here.
Yep.
And then we're going to say, okay, so what's the impact? And we're going to do this. Now we're going to basically like check our gut and say, did we rate these correctly? Respond to people on LinkedIn, medium, my confidence is high, and the effort's low.
Correct.
Right. When the effort's low, usually it means that you can actually outsource this to a VA because if it's low, then most likely it's that, but you just don't have the time to do it. So we're going to keep this here. Updating email blast list. So adding people. What are you doing in those email blasts? What sort of stuff do you send them in an email blast that list is important to you?
It depends on the audience. I have other brokers, so what I would send to them is deals recently closed and stuff marketing my team and why they should use me if they come into my market. So the impact I definitely think is medium. And then if it's a client-based email blast, which I also have other lists, that is just information on the market and why they should be looking at either renewing or surveying the market. So actually, I feel like the impact is high.
There we go. So we just so that you always got to do the gut check. So yeah, now it's high.
Myself in a circle there. Yeah.
Yep. And then, okay. So we got that. So we respond to people on LinkedIn. We update email blast people, keep prospect report updated. That is kind of medium. The effort is kind of medium, but this is one of those things that you have to do to keep the business, right? It's like you doing all the things to win the business, but then you're not servicing it.
Yeah,
they're never
so
gonna
that's
do
a
business
landlord thing. And that's why, I would not want to have to do any of that. But I would think that the impact will be high, though. I'm surprised you think it's medium.
So let gut check, right? High.
Yeah.
Boom. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go and we're going to say, okay, let's sort. So I'm going to right-click here. You can use Excel to do this. And I'm going to basically say, actually, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to get rid of the mediums just really quick. So now, let me see, did I do that correctly? No, I did not do it. So I'm going to go, okay, I have three things that I need to do. So the most important things that's going to impact my revenue is going to be updating email blast list, add people, keep prospect reports updated, and client follow-up, right? But then I'm just say, okay, well, people can help me with that. But I believe that the medium task that we had rated is actually pretty important as well. Which is basically, let me see if I can bring this back up. All right. We'll get rid of the low one. So now we have a shorter list, right? So we have respond to people on LinkedIn, super low effort. That's going to be the one that you probably want to start getting your virtual assistant out the door. Keeping your email blast list, medium, but it's high. I would focus on all of these high impact things. Right, you get them started with an easy task, which is the medium one, right? Which is responding to people on LinkedIn.
Just to kind of understand their communication and how, what their turnaround time is. Yeah.
And then you do that. And then you basically start updating all the stuff and you show them the systems, you give them access to these things, you know, you create an additional account that you can lock out at any time, et cetera. So now we have basically, we've iced the method that we basically said, hey, here's the list of things that we should, that I should be doing. And now you've taken that list of things that you think you should be doing, like binding toner and like organizing your computer files. And you said, okay, I'm not going to pay somebody to do that. It's going to have no impact. So now you have tasks that Natalie Wainwright, all of these things would be, you know, updating email blast lists is going to bring you more money, keeping the prospect reports updated, which you don't do because you're on tenant rep. You know, that's important, you know, to keep the business, and client follow-up, super important. There's a statistic, I think like only like 40%, is it 40%? I forgot. Tom Ferry, who's like the residential real estate coach. He's a friend of mine. I was seeing one of his videos and one of his, you know, his big webinar seminars that he does in person. And it's like a metric, like 40% of people remember the name of their agent after they do a deal. It's crazy.
And it's the lowest hanging fruit. And I mean, on my old team, that was our biggest struggle. On my new team, I need to really relook at that. You're causing me stress.
That's okay. But that we're going to reduce the stress by hiring a virtual assistant. So what I recommend, a site that I've used a lot, you can use any site. I wouldn't go to Fiverr, by the way. I would try to hire somebody. And I would go to Odesk. It's called something else now, but it's Upwork, I think. So if I go, it's Upwork. So I would go here, right?
Yeah, Upwork is great.
So then what I would do is I wouldn't look for professionals or anything like that. A hack is I would just target people. And I've had a lot of success with people from the Philippines speaking English and doing fantastic work. So I target Southeast Asia. So like, let me see if I've got my account here. One second.
You can target by area? I didn't know that.
You can. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Yeah. So let me see here. Let me go to my personal account. But here we go. All right. So let me see. All right. So you go right here and you go to post a job, right?
Okay.
And it says, you know, post a new job, short-term, part-time, or dedicated long work. I would just start with like short-term, part-time, right?
Yeah.
So I would click on that and then I would go to next. And then the name of the job post might be just like, let's say data entry, right?
Yes.
Because that's technically what it is. And then you can say, okay, data entry, see more options, data extraction, et cetera. And then what you can do is you can basically put a description, right? Like we're going to go back to the thing and you're going to say, okay, look, I need to respond to people on LinkedIn. I need to update my email list. I need to update some reports I have, and I need to follow up with clients. That's all you put here. But then you put in the description, so you go blah, 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 blah. I'll just type a bunch of stuff here, right? And I'll go, if you want to try out for this task, please do this test task.
Oh, that's an interesting, I've never done that before. Okay. And what's the test task?
So for example, let's say that we were trying to respond to people on LinkedIn, right?
Yep.
Let's say that you wanted to do that. So the test task is I would either record a video on Loom and Loom.
I love Loom.
So what holds a lot of people back is like, how do I explain the amount of time I'm going to take to explain something to somebody? Recording like you showing your screen and showing your face on Loom, you can actually show a spreadsheet and tell them to recreate it and do it all like visually, and you don't have to write out all these like instructions, right?
Yeah, that's smart.
You can also do instructions. So the test task would be like something like this, you know, record a video using loom.com of you emailing or messaging three people on LinkedIn, thanking them in advance for accepting your connection to them, right? So it could be something like simple like that. Then they basically submit and you go, Do three of these and send me the link to the recording. And you want to make sure that you don't have like a test trial. Like if it was like, hey, find email addresses, right? You would basically say something descriptive like, okay, I want, here's three CEOs, three companies. I want you to find the email addresses for these people. And you give them nothing else.
Yeah. And right? then it's on them.
But you should do with people that you already know their email addresses. You just
Absolutely.
Just
and then
they send you. So the applicants, like right when they apply, they know that they have to create those tasks. And then what they can do is you can kind of see the effort. So, you know, I don't have to train this person.
That's such a good point. I've never thought of doing that. That's genius. So before you hire the VA, you kind of get a sample. And if they're willing to even do this before they get the job, that shows that they're hungry as well. So that shows you a couple of different things about them.
So it shows you the product that they're going to be providing for you. And we did this out of necessity. So when we first started, we were very nimble. We didn't have that much money when we started Digzy. So of course we had to get help, right? We had so many things to do, from like building code or, you know, shipping code, and at the same time design and talking to prospective customers and interviewing potential customers and making sure that we got that. So you can add screening questions too. You can say like a cover letter as well. So I'm just going to, you know, make this up right here. So required a cover letter. Let me see. Do you have any questions about the job description? Let's just do that there. Include a cover letter. Do I have to add another? This is an ongoing project. That's what I need to do. Okay, so I'm going to go here. And then here's the one thing. You can add all the skills. So like I picked data entry skills. That's all you really need to do. And then we're looking for somebody entry level, intermediate. You can do entry level, intermediate. It doesn't really matter. I'll put intermediate, okay? And then you see right here, it says location of freelancer, US only or worldwide.
That is so interesting. Okay. I mean, I guess I just always hit worldwide and never thought to add a region or a country. That is so interesting.
Yeah. So here's what I do. So I type in Asia right here. And then let me see. You were able to target before Southeast Asia. Let me see if I can grab a region for here. Maybe they actually let you pick you can actually pick the country now. So I just get rid of that and I'll put the Philippines. The Philippines, I've had really, really good thing. I don't have anything, but my wife appreciates it. She's Filipino, so. So who can see your job? I put anyone can see the
people
job.
People choose the Philippines. I just want to go on record on that one.
I just had good experience. I've hired people for coding. Usually people, like we don't outsource any code. But like when I used to have projects outside of Digzy, like little applications that I would build when I was a broker, like I've had a lot of success with people in the Ukraine. And the language barrier is just not really there. So then, you know, freelancer, more than one freelancer, I always put more than one freelancer. I want to have multiple people that will apply, so that they don't think they're competing for jobs. And the number of freelancers I'll put like I'm hiring to. And then you go next. So you kind of get it. I'm not going to go into this whole thing, but basically what you do is you go to Odesk and then you put the tasks or the tasks that you're looking for. And then you go, okay, you give them a test task, right? Based on what you're looking to do. And then once that person, if let's say for example, a test task is like find the email addresses of these three individuals at these companies and, you know, send them to me in a spreadsheet. And then they send them back to you and they found them, then you can be, okay, great. You know, let's try you out. And they can be like, check the resume and see if they have experience with like email marketing, data entry, and all this other stuff. And then you can actually go ahead and do that. And you know what I think I'll do? I'll put some of the sample tasks in Digzy. So that way, when somebody's looking, like if they want, oh, I want some sample tasks of what we can do, we'll probably like do one or two
that's a good idea.
You or somebody else can send. We'll put those in there. So by the time we go live on this, we'll do that. But all you have to do is just go to getdigzy.com and you can create a free lister account. So you can create a free lister account by clicking submit a listing or just go to log in. And in the login screen, you can create an account by clicking the create account link right here. And then it's free. So you can go in there. But what's going to happen is when you log in, you're going to see this this little section right here at the top right-hand side. So you're going to see, you see where my initials are?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to help and resources. And then
there's so many resources in there too, especially that COVID marketing. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can do all these things right here, lead generation templates. Probably it'll be scripts and templates, or it'll be it'll be called something. You can actually, at the top, if you type in virtual assistant, right, then the downloadables will pop up. So we'll make sure that you can access them. But just create a free Lister account, and we'll do that. I'll tell you when it goes live to Natalie, so you can have the job descriptions and all that, the test tasks. So that's pretty much it. I'm going to stop sharing my screen right now, but that's what I would do. I mean, the most important that's thing awesome. Is like when you've got, you know, a little bit of cash in the bank,
yeah.
Then two, it's when you don't have time to do the important things that are, you know, that have high impact and you're very confident that they can move the needle on your revenue, but you're not doing them.
Yes. And I love ICE. I have a 2 o'clock with my assistant today. I'm going to have us go through all the tasks that we do together and what we need to keep the Wainwright Group afloat and thriving. And then do the ICE method. I love that, which is impact, confidence,
effort.
Effort.
Yeah. Effort. Yeah. Yeah. It's a great thing.
How to hire a VA. So many people have no idea how to hire a VA. One of my business partners for the new, radio show I'm doing, she had no idea. So I can literally just send this video and say, you know, watch this, and these are the kinds of things that you should ask for. So I'm excited to share this one.
Well, I'm glad it's of help. Do you think anything else that our audience might be wondering about hiring virtual assistants or anything like that?
Pain per job. I usually, like, if I have a VA write me, ghostwrite a story, I will do a pay per job, not per hour. So like maybe it's $50 or $60, or if you have a graphic created, VAs can do anything. They can do logo creation. They can do follow-up calls. There's so many things. So just be thinking about the budget that you want to set. And then I found that with different parts of the country, you are going to pay way less than you probably thought you were going to pay.
Yep.
Because of the different, the economy. So definitely do a little bit of research that you're not overpaying for the services that I had a little bit of a disconnect and trouble with that, where I'm like, I'm paying somebody $3 an hour and I felt bad about myself. But in that country, that was a lot of money, and I was helping somebody's livelihood and their family. So definitely do a little bit of research before you pull the trigger on wherever your VA is from.
But that's the other thing too. When you're posting your job on Upwork or any other platform, you can actually put the dollar per the amount per hour,
yeah.
And you can just research, you know, look up freelancers in that country, and then see how much the average thing. I have a contact. I was just talking with somebody about a couple of weeks ago. They were telling me that they hired a VA, a really good VA. In the Philippines, and they were paying that person, and she was making a lot more than what she had posted. They were paying her $5 an hour, and it was about $2. It was like $5.50 an hour, $2.50 more than she was making at her previous engagement. So
yeah.
Depending on what you look for, it per hour might make more sense for if a project like, hey, I'm looking for, like what you were mentioning, like create this graphic. But I think cost, I mean, now that you mentioned it, cost is that, but you're not going to be paying US prices as long as
you're not. Yeah.
It's pretty affordable. And as long as they're doing high, you know, return on investment, tasks like that you don't have the time to do, that's the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed.
What are the things you think our audience might have questions on about virtual assistants?
I don't know. I know that I've done it personally, and I think we hit every box that I had concerns with, and then coming up with tasks. I mean, really put some thought into the tasks. I'm actually going to do that today. Some tasks that you can be giving out, because my time, I've calculated it's worth so much per hour. I'm not going to say what it's worth, but are you wasting your time on tasks that are not worth it, right? Like
right.
Hiring somebody to mow your lawn versus mowing the lawn yourself. I'm going to hire somebody because my time's worth more than that.
Yep.
So it's the same thing with VAs, and especially, you know, you can use VAs for personal stuff too. I buy all my groceries online. I could have somebody go in and make sure that they're ordered at a certain time, and all I have to do is pull up and load my car. So I think there's personal needs as well as, you know, booking your travel and things like that. And then there's the more professional side of things, which is databasing and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So if anybody, you know, has questions, we'll have links below to like some of the tools you mentioned, something else. We'll make sure we include those. We'll include a link so you can go access the test tasks on Digzy. And if anybody has any questions, please, you know, leave Natalie and I a comment below. We'd love to hear from you what other topics we can cover. If you have any questions about this topic in particular, we're very responsive. So go ahead and leave the comments below. If you're seeing this on social media, please just comment on the post and ask us questions. Natalie and I are happy to help.
And if you share it, let us know that you shared it. Let us know that this is valuable in your life. I've received so many emails and messages from people that are like, oh my God, that helped my business so much, especially Persist IQ. And a couple of other ones that we've done where Andrew's just given us so much. I don't know where you get all this stuff, Andrew, but anyways, give us some feedback. Let us know that you're sharing it. And then on social media, Natalie_CRE10X. I'm super responsive on Instagram and Twitter, especially LinkedIn as well. And so I will absolutely give you some love right back. If you share this video and stuff, because it's valuable. It's valuable. So many people are like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Right.
So Upwork.com. I agree. Upwork is something that I would use more than I would use Fiverr. My experience has been better on Upwork. Yeah. Cool.
And then please leave us a comment below. Make sure to hit the thumbs up and subscribe. We release new episodes every week. Share it with the best thank you can do, like for us. If you like the content, like Natalie said, is, you know, share it on your social network, share it with your colleagues. Make sure to tag us on or mention us on the comments so we can see that you're doing that. We can give you some love back. Make sure to hit subscribe and leave us a like and a review on Apple Podcasts. That'd be huge for us. That actually helps us out quite a bit so that we can continue to grow the audience and bring more and more content to you guys. So Natalie, it's hump day.
It sure is. It's hump day. So this was great. Thanks so much. I'm excited. I'm excited. I guarantee you I will hire a VA by the end of the week.
That's awesome.
Sometimes you just need somebody to look at you and be like, you should not be doing that. And so
the power of clarity, the power of clarity is huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thanks so I'll let you go, Natalie. Have a great week. And we love all of you out there. And thank you for tuning in.
Absolutely. Bye guys.
See ya.